This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 96 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and I just feel refreshed. I hope y'all can hear it in my voice that I am feeling much better than I did last episode. That was my Jordan flu game, pushed through that, but it was the culture and climate that is so hot right now in Carolina football that propelled me to that. The strength of Soulja Boy also I have to credit, but it is a great time to be a Gamecock. Obviously, we are in our bye week now, so everyone's just kind of chilling, putting their feet up after a big win. It is a fantastic weekend, a fantastic slate of college football this weekend. So from that perspective, from a fan's perspective, pretty good timing, honestly, to have a bye week. I personally have a wedding to be at, and the first thing I checked when I got this invitation several months ago was see when it lies on the schedule. Bye week, we're all good, but you know your boy is going to still have his phone up watching. But for this episode here, going to, of course, do a week in review from around USC Athletics, and then going to take this time to do a bit of a mid-season retrospective. Last year in the bye week, I used the time as a retrospective, not just for the season, but for Shane Beamer's tenure as a whole. Obviously, coach has been with us for well over a year now. We're six games into year two. I'm not going to critique his tenure now, but we're going to look at sort of the major storylines and my overall thoughts about how this first half of the season has gone. But before I get into that, I teased this the other day, but this next episode, so on Monday, it is the first player interview for the show, and I am so excited to announce that the all-time points leader for Carolina football, Parker White, graced my presence, graced the show's presence, and sat down with an interview with me. I am so excited to bring that to y'all Monday. Parker White, first interview. First time get. You always remember your first. You know, that's what they say. So I'm really excited to drop that. Super cool guy. We talked a lot about wide-ranging stuff. His early days at USC, growing into the role as a kicker, sort of how he got over the hump in a few moments, sort of his new current initiatives, what he's doing now, and then looking back on a few other fun questions. So it was a great interview. He's a really cool guy, and I'm really excited to bring it to y'all. So on Monday, Parker White interview, spread the word. It's going to be a fun time. But that brings me to this week in review from USC Athletics. Really only got one update for y'all. It was a pretty quiet week from the athletic side of things here. It was on Wednesday, the women's golf team finished fourth in the Jackson T. Stevens Cup. They were in the third place match against Duke, unfortunately got edged out, so ended up in fourth for the tournament. You had the women's tennis team start a multi-day long tournament as well, but it just started on Wednesday, so there was no results to report on. Which brings me to the football team and our mid-season retrospective. So taking a big step back here, I don't think you can talk about the 2022 season for the Gamecocks without talking about the offseason. You know, sort of the, I guess you could say the offseason leading up to it. It's like kind of the 2021 into the 2022 offseason, whatever you want to call it. But there was so much momentum and so much hype, the most we have seen in years. You got to start with the addition of Spencer Rattler and the other transfers. Stogner, Devonnie Reed, CBS, Juice Wells, Corey Rucker. There were some big-time gets. But of course, Rattler was the belle of the ball. He was this major, proven quarterback who was on the open market. And the fact that he chose South Carolina made waves nationally and made us really think like, oh my gosh, we got something going on here. And then you couple that with some strong recruiting, and it really felt like we had a ton of momentum and everything was pointing in the right way for Shane Beamer and this program. And then the cherry on top of the offseason was the ESPN Welcome Home special, which was awesome. I mean, I'll take that any offseason. It was so cool to get that behind the scenes access and everything that came along with it. And it was just this months long buildup to the season. There's always that buildup, right? I mean, we're all fanatics. We start counting down from 100 days, but this was like, oh my gosh, we got something cooking here. You had analysts picking us to finish really high up. We were sort of that trendy pick, that dark horse pick that could make some noise nationally. And it just led up to this moment, which was the Georgia State game. But then it was sort of an interesting start to the year, right? Kind of sluggish. You know, that first game was exciting. We ended up with a comfortable margin, but that first half was tight. And the team was off to a bit of a sluggish start. And then you go to Arkansas, you lose. You come back home to Georgia, it's like, all right. And then you got boat raced at home. And it was just a wacky start to the year that after all of this momentum and all of this hype and all of these signs pointing that this program is ready to take a good step forward, you didn't see that right away. And it made some of the fans in Gamecock country a little uneasy. You know, you never want to see your team struggle. And I just think it was how the team looked at times. You know, I don't think a ton of people realistically thought we were going to start 3-0, but just how it happened, I think, was making a lot of people feel uneasy. But I don't think there's any doubting that there was a week-over-week improvement generally, you know, kind of leaving out the Georgia game. We're just not gonna talk about that game anymore. But generally speaking, you did see some improvement. And the coaches talked about that, how, yes, there is that old saying, you improve the most from week one to week two. But Beamer talked about it, how every week you should be improving. And I think we saw that. You end on a three-game win streak, first since, what was it, 2017? And you're 4-2 at the bye week, and all of a sudden, life is pretty good in Gamecock country, right? Life is pretty good. Three-game win streak, quality win, 4-2. You got the monkey off your back with Kentucky and the road game. As it stands today, the offense ranks 6th in the SEC with 33.7 points per game. Now, I will throw in a little bit of a caveat here, and normally I don't like to poke holes in stats that look good for us, but that point total is including everything. So the two blocked punts from the Georgia State game are in that total. So that's not like all those points per game are not purely from the offense, but with that being said, those punts were blocked pretty deep in Georgia State territory anyway. Stands to reason, we're going to come away with some points had it not been returned for a touchdown both times. So, like, maybe instead of 33, it's 30 had it gone regular. You know what I mean? But point is, it's an improved unit from that standpoint. As it stands right now, 6th in the SEC, you are above average. You are in the top half in the SEC in points per game, no matter how you slice it through 6 games. And through 6 games, everybody has played everybody. Everybody has played cupcakes and SEC teams alike, so this isn't really a weird, you know, they haven't played anybody type comparison here. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, they are tied for 10th in the SEC with 25 points allowed per game. And I went back and looked at what that unit did last year, and they averaged 24 points per game at the end of the whole season. So you're about on pace for where you were. And I talked about that in one episode where the defense was much improved last year compared to, you know, the year before Beamer got here, really looking back on this one. But they had some up and down games. And I think that this defense has also had some up and down games, and the numbers reflected that overall it's about the same as last year. And last year, I feel like, generally speaking, a lot of people were happy with the defense. So some of the biggest storylines for me at the halfway point in the year, the headliner has got to be Beamer Ball. I mean, my goodness gracious, Beamer Ball has shown up big time in 2022. South Carolina leading the country in blocked punts, and these blocks are the reason why we pulled away from Georgia State. I think it was a huge reason why we kept the momentum in our corner against Kentucky. And it's just those little things that can make you a tough team to beat. I mean, through a year and a half under Shane Beamer, Marcus Satterfield, Clayton White, we've had a couple of wins where we just blew people away. But the identity of this team feels like it's scrappy and it's, generally speaking, hard to put away. And that we're going to be a team that fights you for 60 minutes and we're just going to not going to go away. And when we get rolling, we can put you away type of deal. I don't know if that makes sense. I hope you followed. But the point is that Beamer Ball is a big reason of that. If maybe our offense isn't cooking, we can block a punt and steal a possession from you and get good field position and then help our offense get going. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, some storylines here. Got to lead off with the full emergence of Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, my goodness, I can't say enough good things about this man. He is the guy that we were hoping him to be. He needs to be the engine of this offense, the foundation of this offense, and he's having an incredible year. Very, very happy for him. Also, something that I did not think I was going to say was an offensive line that does seem to have improved week over week, at least compared to week one, right? Week two. We were all pulling our hair out that how could this be happening again? And slowly but surely, I do feel that it has improved. And you've seen that with Marshawn Lloyd's performances. And generally speaking, I feel that Spencer is running for his life less than he was in the first game or two. Also, Juice Wells and Jalen Brooks, they are just total ballers. Juice Wells, what an awesome, pleasant surprise. We heard good things. And Jalen, don't call it a comeback, Brooks. Two guys are having two very fine seasons. I love that. Now, on the other hand, though, of the offense, a storyline has to be the play of Spencer Rattler. It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, on one hand, he's made some incredible plays, and he's been smart with the ball and hasn't taken stupid sacks, knows when to throw it away, has been that steady leader. He's been there every game. He brings a veteran presence, all that jazz. But on the other hand, talked about it last episode, I just don't think he's very comfortable in this offense yet. And he has made some questionable decisions and underthrown some key balls. And he's turned it over more this year than I think he had in multiple years at Oklahoma. His completion percentage is still pretty darn high, but his QBR is really not. So it's been a mixed bag with him. And he needs to lean more on the side of improving and being good. Doesn't have to be great, because this team has a potential to turn it on in the second half. Also, you know, Satterfield's ability, that's a storyline. I mean, it's been brought into question multiple times throughout this first half, and it's just still a question mark. I mean, I know that we're sixth in the SEC in scoring, and yes, at the end of the day, your offense is supposed to score, and I think we're on a three-game win streak because we're scoring at opportune times and all that jazz, but the offense has still looked clunky at times. A lot of the times, there's been some really questionable play calls in big moments. You look at the UGA game with that weird Dakarion Joyner run, and it just is still this looming question mark about where is this offense, you know? Because of Marshawn, we have a little bit more of an identity, but still, Satterfield is a big question mark for me. On the defensive side of the ball, big-time storyline has got to be the young talent that has stepped up this year. Nick Emmanuori, DQ Smith, Gilbert Edmonds, Stone Blanton are guys that came off the top of my head, but wow, where would this team be without a lot of those guys? I mean, Nick Emmanuori has played so many snaps and has filled in for veterans. RJ Roderick has been here for like 10 years, it feels like. And every year it's the same deal with him. He has a good game and then he gets hurt, and which is no knock on him, but it left this veteran presence. I mean, we were relying on RJ to be that leader in the defensive backfield for the safeties. Nick Emmanuori has filled in for him beautifully. Devonnie Reed has not been 100%. He has filled in for him as well. And the same goes for DQ Smith. These are young guys. DQ Smith, I believe, had one of the blocked punts against Georgia State. I'm pretty sure. But these two guys have been incredible. Gilbert Edmonds thrust into action on the edge. He, you know, was a little bit of shell shock, a little bit of thrown into the deep end his first game, but he has really grown into that role well. He has looked good over these last three games, and especially against Kentucky. And Stone Blanton, you know, he's had to get more playing time, and he's been in on some action as well. So really, really cool to see those guys. Also, the unit in general, the defense, I felt like has found their footing during this three-game win streak. You're seeing more turnovers, better communication, better fundamentals, and more physicality. And you really saw the pinnacle of that against Kentucky. Now, the key is, can you keep that up? There was a lot of emphasis in this Kentucky game about how you have to be physical. That's for the rest of the game, the rest of the schedule, guys. You're going to have to bring that level of physicality every game, every Saturday from here on out. So that's the question. I believe they're up to the task, because once you've seen it, you can do it. And also, I mean, just the resiliency to prove that next man up mentality after the devastating injuries to Mo Kaba and Jordan Strawn. I mean, I think this group was in shock a little bit when that happened, to lose not one but two key leaders for the year. And it happened during the Arkansas game. And it was just a really, really tough time. You had no time to regroup. You had no time to ramp guys up. And the fact that you have guys like Gilbert Edmonds and Sherrod Green, Stone Blanton, guys who have stepped up to the plate and have filled those roles really well, in my opinion, has just been phenomenal. Phenomenal to see to Clayton White and everybody on that staff for getting this group ready and instilling that mentality. You know, but on the other hand of this group, you know, they had a couple poor showings early in the year, and it casts some doubt if this unit could improve year over year. But I do think between the SC State game and, more importantly, the Kentucky game, it feels like a lot of those doubts have eased a good bit. You know, it's okay to be a little skeptical still, but I think that this unit has hit their stride and will end up being the strength of this team as it was last year. You know, I mean, as much praise as I'm giving these young guys, the veterans are incredible. I mean, Zach Pickens has been having a good year. You know, Sherrod Green had to step up, but he's been here for a long time too. Brad Johnson, he's another guy. Cam Smith, David Spaulding, he showed up in a big way. So it's this really cool mix where you're having these freshmen just play out of their minds, and sophomores too, and like Edmund. But, you know, the veterans who you needed to step up and lead by example have, and it's really, really cool to see. So where are we at the bye? We're sitting at 4-2. Like I said, big time quality SEC win under your belt. And y'all, we are staring at two winnable home games and a chance to completely flip the script on its head from where a lot of people had it after week three, both in Gamecock country and nationally. And y'all, That is why we wait for the games to be played to pass judgment on how a season goes. All these overreactions after week three. The sky felt like it was falling after week three. I was sad for about a week. Now we're 4-2. Beat Kentucky. Coming home after a bye. It's a whole new season. And yes, it's SEC play. And then we play the team in the upstate. It's going to be hard games. But I think this team could be hitting a stride. I think this team and both units have seen what works. And they've seen how to adjust. I was reading something that talked about how strong South Carolina has been as a second-half team, and it's quite remarkable, and it's true. And I attribute that to Shane Beamer. He makes them maintain focus. He emphasizes improving throughout the game. And that's what all the good coaches do. So it's going to be really interesting to follow along. At 4-2, I'm happy. I'm super, super happy. If you told any Gamecock fan that you were going to be 4-2 at the bye, anybody would have signed up for that. Anyone would. Whether you had the win against Arkansas, UGA, or UK, it didn't matter. This was exactly where this team needed to be, and now you could be a hunter. You're not just scrambling trying to find a path to 6. Now we can be the aggressor, and it's very, very cool. But with that, you know, that brings me to the 6-pack of picks. Don't got a game to preview. But so for any new listeners here, I do a 6-pack of picks for the weekend. One pick from the Power 5 conferences and then one from the Group of 5. So from the ACC, NC State at Syracuse, give me over 42. That game's at 3:30. Big 12, Oklahoma State plus 4 at TCU. Go Pokes. I normally like to ride with my Pokes. I haven't done that yet. That game is also at 3:30. Pac-12, give me Stanford at Notre Dame. Notre Dame minus 17. I don't know if I really like this one, but I'm riding with it. Game's at 7:30. Big 10, game of the noon slate, arguably. Penn State plus 7 at Michigan. Penn State, while they might not have the best record against top 10 teams over the last couple years, they have been very close. So I think they keep it close. SEC, Auburn at Ole Miss. Ole Miss minus 15 at noon. I think Auburn is going to lose, and their head coach is probably gone. Group of 5, JMU at Georgia Southern, over 67. Couldn't tell you why. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show. And don't forget, Monday, Parker White interview. And like, subscribe, and review the show wherever you like to listen. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.